Hey, y'all. Hey, y'all. This one is explicit.
Hello, Jessica.
Hello, Elsie.
You know what?
What?
I love listening to us.
We are good. I don't blame you.
When I do the show notes, it's just hilarious because, and then there's times when I'm able, it depends on timing because, you know, John gets the files and then he sends them to me and then I could do the show notes then because I listen to the whole show and do the show notes. Or if John or I am a little bit early, meaning that, I have time to do the show notes beforehand, then I'll listen to our raw files, mm-hmm. you know? And I have to say, man, I was doing it this weekend after John had sent us the file, and it's just so good. I start laughing hysterically over our news stuff and our tips things because it's just so funny. Have you heard it yet?
Of course not.
Oh my God.
What?
You have to listen because it's so perfect. It's like, it's so organic. It's so like we're just talking and then all of a sudden, okay, we're going to break for the news. And then you hear the news. Beep, 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 beep. And it's like sort of pseudo you and pseudo like and a real like transition. And it's perfect because then there's no commentary on the sound. It's always like me totally serious. Okay, guys, in the news, blah, 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 blah. And it's so the juxtaposition between that transition and my seriousness kills me.
I was just telling John that I worry that, you know, like that you're a newscaster and I'm just here to like bust on you because not only are you like coming up with the news, but like you often want to read the headlines and go over the bullet points. And I end up sitting here feeling like I'm not smart enough to be the one to read the news. And then I feel like, well, I may as well embrace it and then find something to bust on you about because I don't know what else to do with myself. And then I feel guilty that I haven't come up with the news myself.
No.
Then I think, wait, I'm not done.
Okay.
And then I get through the cycle feeling like, well, she's probably just doing this because she feels like I'm doing a bunch of other stuff that she's not doing. Right? And I know you because I know you're probably just like, well, I'll do this so Jessica can focus on that. I'm assuming.
Yeah,
right?
There's that.
And then there's also your desire to be like a podcast source of reliable information,
right?
Which I know is in there as well. And so I'm just like, well, I'll just do my part. And what is John reassured me? He was like, you're supposed to, you know, she's the noodles and the sustenance. You're the flavor packet.
Oh, look at that.
I'm the flavor packet.
I'm
not sure if that's the kind of thing where my grandmother used to introduce me as the smart one and my sister as the pretty one, but and both of mm-hmm. us were like, fuck you! But I'll take it. I'll be the flavor packet, but that doesn't mean you're not flavorful, Elsie.
All of the above. And usually I just put all the stuff because I get really, I think it's because I'm so serious. Like, I'm serious. This is like serious business for me. Mm-hmm. And I want to get through some of this stuff. And in terms of like what you can do, I don't know. Rob usually just goes, you read this. And yeah. I'm like, okay. Because, all right. It doesn't matter.
Then
you know?
Just read it. I don't feel like I have to read any of it. You're the one curating the news. So you should be the one to talk about why it's important. It's just that, I guess on a week like this, when I'm traveling, I'm less concerned with what we're going to talk about because I have other things I need to do before we go. So right. It's okay for me to just be the flavor packet this time. And last time I had some stuff we wanted to talk about. It's fine. It's all going to work out. And
plus,
all fine.
Why don't we let our peeps know what's up? So guys, we are recording this is probably the earliest we've recorded in a long time. Speaking of news, which was something that Jess was like bringing to my attention that, you know, we will sort of report on the news, but really this news isn't really newsy by the time this comes out. But, you know, the stuff that I'm letting you guys know isn't necessarily time sensitive. It's just stuff, mm-hmm. Which is great and exciting for me. But if we happen to not address something that has just dropped like in the last couple of days of April or like on May 1st, which is when this goes live, it's because Jess is traveling. Will you share where you're going?
I'm going to Minneapolis, baby. I'm super excited.
Yeah, but tell them what you're doing.
I am going to speak about podcasting and
Oh my God.
I'm going to speak basically about how podcasting is a good way to express yourself and show. I mean, it sounds cornball, but it's like sort of like a way of expressing yourself that you can't do any other way or any other through any other medium. That it's really the best way to express your personality if you're having trouble not doing that, but like being heard properly. Because with writing and like, it's hard to do. It's hard to be yourself. You're just another blog.
Yeah.
You're just another blog. And so when you podcast, it's sort of like people can really get to know you in a different way. And I'm sort of meant to illustrate that. That's what I'm going to illustrate.
Good. I'm glad and I'm happy for you. But at the same time, it's like, poor you. You've had to do so many things this weekend and then record this thing and then pack up and go. And dude, that's a lot of stuff.
No,
dude.
Poor me. I love speaking and leaving. So it's good.
There's that, too.
I'm not unhappy in the slightest.
And you're going to meet some of our friends.
I get to meet Erica Learmark, which I'm so excited about. And I'm staying with Amber McHugh, which I'm also so excited about.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of slightly jealous about that.
I wish you were coming.
It'll be kind of, yeah, of course. Like, yeah. Do you hear the excitement in my voice?
No. Why is that?
I don't know, because you know what it is? Because I really can't deal like traveling like that. It's just so stressful. There's just so much that, honestly.
All right.
That's it. That's the only reason. I think if there was like some way to be like in Star Trek or something, like be like beamed somewhere there, like ding, here I am, and then come back, it would be like the coolest thing ever.
It's actually true. Like, and this time is no different, because even though normally I just get a ride to the airport, which is 20 minutes away, it was cheaper and more fun to fly with Amber. So I'm going to BWI, which means I have to take the car seat out, drive an hour and a half to BWI, park it, pay to park it, meet Amber at the airport, and then fly out of Baltimore, which is a way bigger airport than Philadelphia, if you can even imagine that. Yeah. So yeah, that'll be kind of a pain in the ass. And then especially coming home, because we don't get in until 8, and then I have to drive another hour and a half home.
Oh my.
I know. But it's not the same as you driving 10 hours to Pittsburgh and then getting on a plane.
It's just coming down.
And then having four legs. And you always have, your flights are always like redonkulous.
Yeah, it's insane. I have to get better at that. But that sucks. But one place that I'm not kind of bummed that we're going to is Chicago, because we're going to be having a nice brunch and podcast movement and excitement and live podcasting recording.
Yep.
That's going to be fun. Did you get your tickets yet, you people that are listening to us here talk? Because then you can watch us together like this.
Yeah, it's going to be super fun.
With the sustenance and the spice packet together live.
Right. You'll have a hearty bowl of soup. Actually, we're not serving soup that day. We're serving some amazing other food. If you want to see, you can go to carnivalchicago.com and see exactly what we will be, what kind of food they do have, but it looks amazing.
Yeah.
And we are going to do a live show, and we are going to probably pull up some of you to talk and talk about your podcasts and stuff. It's the day after podcast movement, so we're not going to bombard you with a bunch of heavy duty lessons. We're just going to be hanging out and eating and looking pretty and hugging each other and laughing and having fun. So I'm really excited, and I hope you guys are excited.
So you have to get your tickets. shepodcast.com/PM16. shepodcast.com/PM16. And you have to remember that you have 2 more weeks. You just have 2 more weeks until the early bird prices go away. So please get your tickets now. It's so going to be so great. I can't even take it. So excited. Yep. The roster keeps growing, and I love to write names on my little bullet journal.
Wait, are you writing names on your bullet
journal? I am writing names in my bullet journal.
Why?
Because I want
it's all in there.
I have all their names. Every time somebody buys a ticket, I write them down on my little bullet journal. Cool. And then that way I can see their names and imagine them and be so happy to be with them.
Got to do it, people. Buy those tickets. Don't wait. Stop waiting.
Stop
farting around.
Oh my God. But we have a really fun thing now that Jess like got for us. Did you get this for us, or did you just set it up for us, this number thing?
No, I just set it up.
I know. We have so many things.
Okay, so lead pages comes with now lead digits. which is basically in order to get on our email list, you can just text something. And we should just have a general one, actually, Elsie. I should set that up next. But for now, if you're if you want to get on the email list and you already have a podcast and you don't mind getting an email with a little kit that we have, or if you're just starting a podcast and you want our little kit, we have a podcast creation checklist and a workbook that helps you start up your podcast. And all you have to do is text in all caps "new podcast" to 44222. And then we respond, ask for your email address, and then you get an email. And shaboomy, you're getting all the stuff. You're getting all the info.
Dude,
do it right now. I know you're listening on your cell phone.
Yes.
Text "new podcast" to 44222.
It's so fancy. I feel so fancy with that.
I know. It's like, going to be, yeah, it's going to be good. We'll come up with another one too.
That'll be really fun too. So if you guys have any ideas of what you would like to get to from us,
yeah, like what should via we send text, you?
Let us know. We'll totally make it super fun. That's no naked pictures.
That'll never happen. We don't want to scare you away.
Yeah,
you
we know? Don't want. No.
I love that we said that at the same time.
I know.
We're like, we don't want to scare away the audience.
No. And just to let you guys know, too, this is the last little bit of promo before we get into the show. You're listening to this on May 2nd, hopefully early in the morning. But my masterclass on voice is going live today. And I found out what the time frame was for Australian stuff. So it actually goes up live today, May 2nd at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, so there's plenty of time for you to sign up.
Well, yeah, you can sign up and have it go live today, but it would be great, you know, to make sure. I'm not sure how that works, though. So I'm assuming that I'll be teaching the class at 5 today.
Are you teaching it live?
No, dude.
Oh, okay.
Which is why I know that it's, right. I'm not there.
Oh, so of course.
It's go to themarketingsummitonline.com, and that is just all one word. So this specific session is the heart of voice and podcasting, which is, this is the first time that I've taught this material to anyone. This is the stuff that I've been like mulling over and kind of cultivating and completely just growing inside of my own head, and thought processes and things like that, that I guarantee that you have never heard before put in this way, particularly around the way it's framed around voice and podcasting. It kind of aligns with what I heard Jessica talking about that she's going to do her speech on, but I'm sort of focusing on podcasting as a tool for like personal growth, transformation, empowerment, things like that. All those words are super cheesy to me, but that's really I kind of what I talk about in a completely different way. So please, please, please sign up and check it out, because the framework for this, it could possibly turn into something really amazing, which has been brewing for me. So themarketingsummitonline.com, and it's free. It's free. And it's like a marketing and business sort of online retreat for kind of aimed a little bit more for women who are a little slightly more on the introverted side. So if, you know, you're kind of like me and like to be a hermit and only do podcasting stuff and get behind the mic and nobody can see you, that's me. And if that's you, this is going to resonate even more.
Did you like how, like, when I asked if she was teaching it live, she was like, "No, dude, like I'm the biggest idiot that's ever walked Earth." That was fun. That was a good time.
Because I recorded it a while ago, but I guess we're not supposed to. Is that peeling back the curtain? Because it's like, you can't have like all these people. Could you imagine having to deal with people showing up live for these events like all day long and curating? It's just, I would probably want to kill myself with the
possible
problems.
It would be terrible.
Oh my God. All right. So we have some feedback from Taylor from Boss Girl Creative. And she is the only one. People, what is wrong with you? That answered my call on episode 93 to tell us what podcasts inspired you to start podcasting. Remember how passionate we were about that? Well, I was about that. And I was like, no, Jessica, no. It's like this. So anyway, this is what Taylor told us about that. She said, "The show that inspired me to start podcasting is Blogging Concentrated's Amplify podcast, and that is Dan Morris and Rachel Martin. And it wasn't necessarily because of their sound, but because of the platform of podcasting. The sound quality and professionalism of a show is appreciated. I personally want to give the best kind of show within my own constraints. I appreciate others who do the same." Mm-hmm. I like that.
I do too.
You podcast with your own constraints, whatever that might be for you. If not, dude, you'll never get behind the mic.
It's very true.
But thank you, Taylor. It's so nice to hear from you. It's been a while, love.
Thank you.
Have you seen her? What you know her website. She's got great branding. So
she's
one
of my clients.
Well, dude, so then you go to her website because it's awesome and her branding is awesome. It's very pretty and spunky.
Girlbosscreative.com, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Dude.
She's got some cool stuff going on for sure. Great blog, and she's very business savvy, which I also like about her.
We like business savvy peeps. Speaking of business savvy, Miss Natalie Ekdahl from Biz Chicks podcast, who is our sponsor for this episode, for the nice, beautiful, professional, and massively amazing podcast mastermind for women podcasters.
Here you go.
Here we go. Here we go. Because I know what.
And away we go.
And away we go. No, Natalie is very, I got to say, man, that woman is so keyed in to exactly what she wants. And
Natalie?
Yeah. And the specificity.
I know, it is really good about her.
I love that because there's something great about not having somebody go like, no, what do you think about this? Why don't you do whatever you want? Because I live in that world. Mm-hmm. I live with all of the people who are sort of like that right here living in the mountains.
You
do? No. You just, I don't know, whenever you want to come, that's fine.
Oh, it's so
no,
flaky.
Just do, yes.
Oh, I don't like that.
Dude, it makes me crazy. So then I have to like, 1 o'clock, this is what you do at 1 o'clock. 1:30, this is what you do. So I go over the other side of things because nobody, like I have to create all the boundaries. So there's something amazing about being able to go into a mastermind, into like a specific space where I get to be, I can't say flaky, but it's not about being flaky. It's about showing up and then kind of playing around with all of these different thoughts that are in your head so that the group, AKA led by the master, not flaky, Natalie, who will be able to sift through all of that and give you the proper boundaries for you to, you know, the proper framework from which to work. I've been using that word a lot. Framework has been in my head a lot. So anyway,
framework?
Framework, yes, framework. So basically, whenever we tweet out about the podcast mastermind for our Twitter account and whatnot, the thing that resonates with people the most is podcasting alone. People don't want to do this alone. It just feels like you can't take the next step because you don't really know if this is the right one. And for some reason, with podcasting, when it's overlaid with things that are really meaningful for you, because a lot of us podcast about things that are really meaningful for us, we kind of end up not taking action. So if you are a podcaster who has started your podcast already, has been doing this enough to know that you love it, but you're kind of in a place where you don't quite know what to do next, doing the podcast mastermind is probably going to be the thing that really takes you up and
Absolutely.
Over. Oh my God. And it's confidential. So, you know, whatever happens in the mastermind
stays in the mastermind.
Mm-hmm.
Mastermind romance. No, I'm just kidding. Not like Vegas.
No, it's not like Vegas. It's something that gets to stay just there simmered. It's kind of like a good meal between friends where you can't like where you
That's
can't...
so cheesy. I can't stand What did you just say? Her mastermind is like a good meal shared between friends, but virtual and without the delicious appetizers and desserts.
But after it's gone, it's gone. And there are no leftovers.
That's right.
Well, maybe leftovers.
I'm not sure I enjoy that.
Yeah.
Analogy.
Well.
But the point is, you'll get to where you want to go if you sign up. It's really, she's very helpful in making you achieve. You don't want to disappoint Natalie. She's the hammer.
I know. She was mentioning last episode, she's like, no, Jess, you're the hammer. So anyway.
No, she's the hammer.
You got to go over really to bizchicks.com/shepodcast. She has a lovely landing page letting you know she all does. Kinds of stuff. So bizchicks, and that would be with an X at the end. .com/shepodcasts so that you can get started right away. We love you, Nat.
Yay.
I hope we got everything in this time.
Oh, the link, though.
That's just said it.
If we say nothing else, but the link. It would be
bizchicks.com/shepodcast. That's it. The link. So Derp. That's the link.
Yeah.
So there's a Philadelphia Society meetup that
there's a Philadelphia Society. Let's start with that.
Yeah. And it started, it happened yesterday. And I'm going to ask you a question about, which is like through time and space. Did you attend, Jess?
I am not sure that I did. Because I'm going to Minnesota and I'm coming back late Saturday night. And the event is Sunday at 1:00. And I've been gone for 4 days. And my husband's probably not going to like the fact that I want to rush right out to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
To the Tattooed Mom. So although I really, really, really want to go because I love the Philadelphia podcasters and the Philadelphia Podcasting Society. I don't think that I can this time, but I'm sure they're going to have more things to go to. And I'm definitely going to do my best to attend those things. But just so you know about the Philadelphia Podcasting Society, if you live in this area, let me see if I can find if they have a fancy. I think if you just type in the Philadelphia Podcasting Society into Facebook, you will find the group. And if you're local, join. You can post your episodes in there. You can post your events in there. They post their events in there. And you get to learn and meet some really nice peeps that are local that do the stuff that you do. So it's kind of exciting and nice. Yeah.
And also, yeah. I'll do you one better there, Jess. There All right. is a link in the show notes, peeps. You guys can scroll through the links in the show notes. And they have like an events page in Facebook. So you can click through there and sort of be in the know. I'm not sure if you can subscribe to events because I think you can on Facebook. And so you will be alerted if you want to be going to the next upcoming episode. I mean, sorry, meeting or meetup. And that's why we're mentioning it, even though this already happened. So just in case, because they've got some more really fun stuff doing happening.
Yes.
Yay. All right. So MTV is resurrecting Cribs via Snapchat. And dude, podcasts. What do you think about that?
How are they going to do Cribs as a podcast? I cannot.
No. It's what? Via Snapchat.
Have you ever looked? Okay. So like I have Snapchat and once in a while I click on the stuff, not my friend's stuff, but like the other stuff. Comedy Central, BuzzFeed, iHeartRadio, People Magazine. I'm always like kind of overwhelmed. I'm either overwhelmed. Okay, I'm going to do it right now while we're on the phone.
Okay.
I'm either going to be overwhelmed. Okay, I just clicked MTV. Mm-hmm. Here it comes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
28 celebrities who love fast food as much as you. And then if you scroll up, you can read it. I still go to Taco Bell drive-thru raw as hell. And it's just like a whole article on Snapchat. I don't know how they do that. Okay, let's keep clicking. Motivational Monday with Boz. And it just says, wake the fuck up. And then it's a lot of like GIFs kind of. Bay of the Day, Beyonce. And it's just flashing. 10-second serenade. It's just dumb. But maybe just MTV is dumb. Okay, so let's try something else. Let's try like
MTV is dumb.
Food Network.
I know.
And I
that
see Alton Brown talking about rye. Should you give up gluten? And then Get Cooking, decadent gluten-free cookies, and then snacks. It's basically like just having your news like shoved down your throat, kind of. Do you want to read this? Do you want to read this? Do you want to read this?
Is it
Do you
just
read
there's this? No videos?
No, there is. It is all video.
Oh, because
but at first, when you're clicking through like their story, they're showing you all the stuff you could be reading or watching, and then you have to, I guess, pick.
Okay. So
does that make sense?
It kind of does make sense. But here's the thing, though. I think it's brilliant. I think it's
Cribs?
A brilliant idea. Yes, Cribs with Snapchat. It's the easiest thing ever. I can't wait to watch it. But I do hope that it's... Here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that the snaps are coming directly from the person themselves. Like, I kind of want them, the actor or whatever, the celebrity, to be behind the snap.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than MTV running the camera. That's kind of what I want. But I'm not sure that's going to happen.
Well, if you want that, then just follow those celebrities. Like, that's the thing. Like, you know who just got a Snapchat account is Chris Pratt, and it's hilarious. He's so good. Yes, he's adorable.
Well, there's the funny people. And you're right. Maybe, but I don't know. I just thought it was a brilliant way to do it because it's like little, it's second snippets of somebody's stuff. Like, they don't have to. In terms of setup for a company, for a company to create something, it's so much cheaper, I think, to be able to do it via Snapchat. People don't their expectations about Snapchat are not the same as when you're doing a full-on show. Mm-hmm. On like regular TV. Usually you see people's faces sort of like half framed and makeup out the door, and you can use filters and you can do little hearts and things like that, which I think are kind of fun.
So, yeah, that's true.
And so I think that there's going to be a level of intimacy when you're, I don't know, because I really like, that's like my favorite part about Snapchat is seeing people's like real life. Like their house or where they're walking or their kitchen.
Well, Cribs is good. You're right. It's a good segue into Snapchat. That's true. But the question is, I don't know, but anytime a brand does stuff on Chapsnat, I want to start calling it that now because that's the best.
That's the Chapsnat.
Switcheroo I've ever done. Chapsnat?
Chapsnat.
That's the best. That's, Chapsnat stuff is when now, all behind the scenes.
Dude, I'm going to be saying that now, like for real.
And it's way funnier than Snapchat.
Yeah, Chapsnat. Yeah.
Any show is a good segue into Snapchat. It's that.
Yep. So good on you, MTV. No, but the podcasts are completely different than that. So they're going to be resurrecting Cribs via Snapchat. So that's like bit of information number one. Now we move that off to the side. Mm-hmm. And now we move to podcasts. So they are creating like a bunch of them. Like, again, it's sort of like instead of doing like, hey, let's start a podcast, they're like, hey, let's start five. So they're doing a bunch of them. It's like they're doing something called Skill Set with Amy Nicholson, No Request Live, The Stakes, North Mollywood sounds kind of exciting.
Yes.
And that one's, yeah, it says, what is breaking down pop cultural developments from California perspective and becoming each other's best friends and yours, which is kind of funny. It seems like Molly Lambert and Alex Papademos. Mm-hmm. And then Speed Dial with Ira and Doreen. So these are all very sort of MTV branded type specific shows, you know, music and pop culture, about films, political magazines, and all that kind of funny, fun stuff. What do you think, Jess? Is that making you excited and happy? Or is that like, oh, geez.
I don't know.
MTV.
Nothing about MTV has been cool for 20 years to
me. That is true.
So, nothing. I mean,
that is true.
I got very addicted to The Real World and Road Rules for a while there. But I mean, you can only watch so much of it before you want to kill yourself. So I've been over MTV for so long.
It has been a long, long time.
Is it just because we're old? Because I don't even see my daughter watching MTV, like, ever.
Well, because when we got... No. I don't think it's because we're old. It's because when MTV started, we were into the music. And, mm-hmm. It, you know, music is incredibly... Oh, gosh. Stuff that happened, you know, music-wise. I think the music that really touched you the hardest and the music that's really in your heart is the music that was when you were a teenager, when you were like 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, because that's when it gets like, it just has so much meaning. Mm-hmm. And that's when MTV was big.
Yes.
So for us, it was about
11, 12, 13, 14. Yes, you're right.
You know, it was about the music. It was about the videos. It was about this whole new thing about videos. And videos then were so interesting. I mean, and really goofy and weird. Like, I mean, there's a bunch of videos where I was like, what the heck is that? Like, you know, Take on Me, where they did that, the cartoon thing happening. Mm-hmm. And there were just like a bunch of like crazy videos, but I remember how fun the stories were for all of those, and then they just stopped playing the music, and I think that that's really the problem. And so now they don't, the only thing now MTV people that are watching MTV that are 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 are, it's all about what? The reality shows? The people beating each other up? The
I mean, in that way, Cribs is a good thing.
Exactly.
Because it's always interesting. You know what else? Was this on Pimp My Ride? I mean, was Pimp My Ride on MTV? Because that was a good show, too. I don't even like cars.
I don't remember. I never really did watch. I never had access to MTV after. So, I mean, yeah. So, whatevs. But it did. I remember it then. But MTV, good for you for getting into podcasting. And I am going to listen to some of those shows.
Pretty exciting.
Because,
well, why wouldn't you?
Well, just because I just think that it's great. I mean, there might be some really, really great ones. And I'd, you know, hopefully you reach out. I'm really wanting them to reach a younger demographic with that. like to really get like the kid, because if MTV can get the kids listening to podcasts, we're in, dude. Mm-hmm. We're in. So
true. Anyway.
But I forgot to play the news tidbit thing, you know, here. So we are going to now start proper. We're going to now properly move into our news segment of the episode. Here we go.
Here goes. The news you can use
for the informed podcaster. Podcasting news.
Great. And so now, a little bit of news. Julian Fellowes is serializing a novel a la podcast. All right. So that you guys do not know who Julian Fellowes is. He is sort of like the big dude writer, producer, and everything else behind Downton Abbey. And of course, some of you guys have known my obsession with Downton Abbey, which I talked about at length in many episodes. So what he's doing is like he wrote a novel. And you can get it, the actual novel, the text, but then you also can listen to it. But the catch is that you have to pay, dude. How about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, makes sense to me.
I kind of really dig that. I think this is the first time that I'm like, how much? Like I didn't, like I didn't even go like, you have to pay? That's lame. I don't know. Like I didn't even have that. That
well,
reaction.
He's your guy, right?
Well, he's not really my guy. I just think like
he's it would be your really guy. Elsie's in love.
I am not in love with Julian Fellowes.
Okay, but he wrote Downton, and so therefore he's like the biggest writing badass.
Well,
I mean, that's a great. It's pretty cool.
He is.
It's certainly better than Catcher in the Rye, and that's not a lie. And definitely better than anything Dickens ever wrote. That shit put me to sleep quick.
Really? Oh my God, dude.
You are kidding. Don't tell me you like Charles Dickens. What's the one?
Dude,
not Scrooge McDuck.
Great Expectations, man.
Yes. Oh God. What a mental torture.
It's not. It's so good.
Oh.
I've been listening to it and on Audible as well. And I'm like, this is a great story. It's a great story.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No one likes Great Expectations. What kind of person are you?
I am an amazing person that loves Great Expectations.
No.
Dude.
No.
It is so good.
Great Expectations is not so good.
Oh. Well, I'm halfway done. And then all of a sudden, I got so into it because, okay, this is how I know I love stuff. Like when I get into things, I'm like, what happens? Because I wanted to know what happens with these characters because it was driving me bananas. And so then I started to Google like Great Expectations and to see if there were like, I don't know, articles that I could read. And then I found out that there was the movie with Gwyneth Paltrow. What's his name? I don't know.
I blocked it all out.
Dude. And so then there was that movie and I was like, oh, that's what that movie was about. Like all of a sudden, all kinds of things were coming back. And then I'm like, I want to watch another movie of Great Expectations. I have not watched it.
No.
But I don't even know.
I found an excerpt. Okay, here we go. I'll even do it in a British accent.
No, it's just
slightly
so
more
good.
Interesting.
Oh, it's heartbreaking. And
I was half afraid. However, the only thing to be done being to knock at the door. I knocked and was told from within to enter. I entered, therefore, and found myself in a pretty large room, well lighted with wax candles.
It is
no
so
glimpse
good.
Of
Dude, we're
going to
get in trouble with you reading
it.
Oh, no, is that
it's
public
three domain? Paragraphs about what the fucking room looks like.
It's still great. It's great. I loved it. But anyway, we're talking about Julian Fellowes right now.
Oh, you're right.
And
go back to him.
You know,
please.
He wrote the Broadway musicals Mary Poppins and, surprisingly, School of Rock. And also Oscar-winning Gosford Park. So he has written other things. Mm-hmm. But I just love the fact that this, I guess you could, qualify him as a stuffy British man, right, has decided to serialize his novel and deliver it via podcast. That's like, that's genius. And he's charging for it. Even more genius. So I'm really excited, people, as you can hear from me. And I will be buying this. And I will be reporting back on what it is. You actually can register to read or listen to episode 1 for free. So, you know, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. So it is Julian Fellowes' Belgravia, and you will find a link in the show notes if you just scroll down and look.
For the Pete's sake, go look.
For the Pete's sake. And then we have the opposite thing happening. There is a podcast that's being adapted for television. How about that?
Ooh.
Ah. Ooh. Ooh. Ah. You are just.
Am I driving you nuts?
You're
today?
So sarcastic today.
Sorry.
I got the wrong packet. Not the wrong packet. I got a different type of packet than I've gotten. Use the spicy packet. It must be a spicy packet or a.
You think today's
packet.
The spicy? Possible.
Possible. So this is a podcast called The Lore. It's a serialized narrative fictional podcast, right? So there's like funky stories and inside of this lore podcast. And they are making this podcast. I just think it's amazing. So they're making this podcast that's this sort of like story into a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being done. What is it that Gayla Ann Hurd, longtime producing partner of James Cameron and most recently one of the spearheading forces of the massively successful The Walking Dead franchise, is intending to produce a live action anthology series out of Lore. That's rad.
Mm-hmm.
So
just rad.
I just think it's awesome. I mean, we had Marc Maron become a TV show, right? But then mm-hmm. It's like it was the Marc Maron show. So it was really more about his life. Kind of not about, and the podcast is part of it, but this is like a story. Anyway,
it's pretty awesome.
I feel that you're not quite as excited as I am, but
I'm not. But that doesn't mean it's not cool.
Yeah. So you guys can read the article because there's a really great article going all through all of this kind of stuff. But
did you go to the guy's website? It's very Downton Abbey-ish.
Which one?
Julian Fellowes one.
Of course, dude. He's got like yeah. Why wouldn't it be? That's like his thing.
Wait, but you know what? Technically, this podcast is not being adapted for TV. This is a possible TV show that's being adapted for podcasts that's then going to be adapted for TV. Oh. It's not quite a win.
Oh.
Because, like, it's not just like a podcast all of a sudden is getting written. It's all planned from the beginning.
Oh,
I see.
So it's like being adapted.
No, if it was being adapted, it would be like Marc Maron's show, he was legitimately adapted because he had a podcast for years before they were like, maybe this will be funny on television. Let's give it a shot. But like, this is like, we're going to make a TV show, but first let's make it a podcast. That's not exactly adapted. It's
no,
not exactly.
It's already a thing. It's already a thing.
It's already a, no, I don't think so.
Dude.
Are you sure?
I think so.
Are we talking about Julian still?
No, dude. We're talking
about
lore.
Oh.
Oh, see. Oh, my God. So I just got a proposal. It's always via
what?
Skype. Isn't that insane when you get...
Like a marriage proposal?
No. Hello, dear. Please, I have a proposal for you, which will benefit you and me also. Write to me directly on my email.
What Here's about the email. Person... Wait. Can we get...
What?
We got something similar recently in our sheepy email. Did we not?
Did we?
Yeah. Hold on. I got to find it because it's really funny.
All right. So, but while she finds that, now that we made the people confused about Lore and Julian Fellowes.
I'm sorry. I was paying attention, but I thought you went back.
No, dude. I did not go back. I was still on Lore. So anyway, a podcast being adapted for TV. I will have a link in the show notes. You guys could read it. It's really great and I'm excited. Oh my God. All right, so sponsor number two, Teen Podcast. If you are having a problem getting your stuff together for a podcast, you don't know how to submit your show into iTunes, you're confused about the RSS feeds, you don't know how you're going to manage it all, oh my God, the images, the social media, the show notes, it's just making you want to pull out your hair. It's really time for you to contact teampodcast.com.
Pass it off, yo.
If
you're every day wondering how you can pass it off, we have your answer. This is it. Pay attention.
Yeah. So Christy Hausler as company is awesome. They do like audio editing. They do show notes. They do your graphic, your social media. And then it starts to allow you to free up your mind so you can only or really just focus on doing your content, which is you can't really outsource that. part. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So somebody else can take care of all the stuff. And especially, and how about this? Especially if you're feeling like you kind of suck. Not that you suck, like as in like your content sucks, but your audio kind of sucks. Like everything's sort of half-assed and you can't really up-level because you don't even know where to start and it's making you upset. So Christy will help you through that and she's going to really be able to guide you as to what the best choices are for you to up-level your sound, your production, and everything else. So please contact teampodcast.com. They are incredible. A lot of our community already uses Christy. She's been amazing and continues to be amazing for free in the She Podcast group because she's constantly in there saying, hey, 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 and giving her advice. So please.
She says, hey, 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 like the guy on What's Happening.
Hey, hey, hey.
You know that's where you got that?
No, it's been a while.
Hey, hey, hey.
4:30. What's Happening? 4:30.
That's from Dwayne on What's Happening.
Do you remember when our schedule was around TV shows?
Yes.
Like, I can remember it. That was like 4:30 on like Monday through Friday reruns was that. Was What's Happening. Oh, that doesn't happen anymore. Now it's like...
No, you DVR your stuff now.
Yeah, there's only special time just for you, meaning your family DVR something, and then this is when you guys all watch it. Whereas before, it was a collective thing. I kind of miss that in a way.
Me too.
Oh, well. Well, anyway, yes.
I kind of miss that too, because it was kind of fun. Like, we used to, in college, rearrange our whole lives to watch Melrose Place. Did you do that too? Or 90210?
Wasn't allowed.
What are you talking about?
I was not allowed to watch Melrose Place or...
What are you talking about? You were like 20. How are you not allowed?
I don't know. When did... No, I was not allowed.
No.
Okay, let's find out.
We're too old. I'm telling you. Hold on.
Okay. When
did... If I was allowed, you're 2 years older than me.
Dude, you didn't know how to grow up in my house.
Didn't you go away to school?
90210. I didn't have a TV.
1990.
That's when I graduated high school.
That's when it came out.
Well,
how could you not be allowed? You were like 18.
Well, I don't remember ever watching it.
What? And then Melrose was probably around the same time. So you didn't go to college. Your friends didn't watch Melrose.
No, I don't think. We never had TV. No. I don't remember watching
any
of that.
We didn't have TV. We had to do the communal. We had to fight for it in the communal room because the guys always wanted to watch sports.
Dude, I never was communal.
What?
I didn't hang
out. You didn't live in a dorm?
I did.
Well, that didn't you have a communal space with a TV?
I never went there.
I only went there for this purpose. That's why I missed the entire beginning of Seinfeld.
I never went there.
I never saw Seinfeld or Frasier until I was like 35.
Neither did I.
Because we had no TV. I wasn't watching that stuff. So I watched reruns of it now. It's hilarious.
Well, so yeah, I never really watched it. Mm. So there's that. Yeah.
Great. All right. Whatever.
All right.
Uh-huh. I won't judge you.
Thanks.
Moving on. Oh, this reminds me of something else. Okay. Before we get into the next topic, and maybe it'll all go together. You know, I don't remember what episode it was. Probably a few back at this point. Because we've been newsing it up for a couple weeks now. But at some point in the last couple episodes, we started talking about mindfulness.
Yes, of course.
And how difficult it is and how you try, but sometimes it's hard. And I definitely can't meditate and this kind of thing. Well, I've been finding myself doing things mindfully. Like, it's almost as if it got snuck into my brain when I wasn't looking. And these are the types of times when I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm glad Elsie, like, plants a little seed in there and just lets it grow on its own. Like, she never brought it up again. She just certainly doesn't lecture me. And I do want to do things more mindfully. But, like, I find myself doing it at the most unexpected times. So, like, especially... This is your fault, though. Washing the dishes and getting ready for my holiday. Like, I found myself being purposefully focused on exactly what I was doing and why. Instead of thinking about, I didn't want to think about work and working while I was getting ready for Passover because I really wanted to focus on tradition and family and doing things with love and purpose. Well, that's not the only time. Like, that's just in the last 2 days. It's been happening, like, for weeks now where I'll be outside with the baby and not even for – I don't even have to force myself now to think about work. I just enjoy that he's little, enjoy that he's having fun outside, that he has a new bike, enjoying my house and being able to walk to the mailbox. It's, like, the tiniest little things. And I can just – somehow it planted in there that I should just be mindful when I'm doing tiny things.
I am very proud of you.
Yeah, I still don't think I can meditate, though.
That's all right. No, you kind of are. I mean, just being mindful is sort of kind of like that. So yeah, no, I've been really working towards that, and I've been trying to really break. Again, for me,
has it been that way for you at all?
It has. There's been a big transition. My morning rituals are really important to me now, and I'm still at it because I think we talked the first time we talked about this was when we were talking about that I started to meditate.
Yeah, you started doing yoga.
Talk to me. Yeah, and then I said talk to me in a, you know, I don't know, in 6 months, I said. So this is, I think this is probably
earlier.
It's a little bit earlier, but I'm still doing it, and I find it to have been incredibly helpful to me. I go, you know, and I'm tracking things, and I've really, really enjoyed the transition. And for me, it's not so much about the stuff. It's about changing the patterns in my brain. Like, my biggest focus is about, like, rewiring my brain to stop doing what it's naturally doing there now, which is generally not being present or trying to do lots of multitasking types of things where, and a lot of it is not helpful to me. Mm-hmm. So, and it all started in this, and the mindful thing started because I got like a little notepad and I started to write lists down every day on Tuesdays and Thursdays when I was preparing to go to town. I have to get a list going because I was feeling incredibly overwhelmed in the mornings because I had so much to prepare for whenever we go into town. I need lunches. I need clothes. I need to take care of myself. I need food for them. I need food for me. I need snacks. I need shoes. I need library books. I mean, there's so many things. And I always ended up like I was running out of the house and I always forgot stuff and I was completely ungrounded. So I'm like, I'm going to make a list by hand and I will follow this list. And then that gave room for like writing things down and being more enamored with me working on my handwriting and then with me trying to make things neat on the page. And then all of a sudden going like, why can't I do this with other stuff too? Oh, I remember when I was doing this with my journal. And then I started to do the same thing on like a journal that I had. And then all of a sudden I got really obsessed with bullet journaling.
Is it really journaling or is it just making to-do lists?
It's kind of both. On the website, it says it's the analog system for the digital age. And that completely was like, oh my God, this is it. I have found it. And so,
Jesus.
Oh.
Do I say Jesus too much? I hope it's not offensive.
When I went to the website, I was like, this is aesthetically what I love. The aesthetics of the website, immediately I was like, oh my God. And I can't remember how I landed on bullet journaling. I don't remember what the rabbit hole was that I was going into where I landed in there. And I was like, holy cats. It was such a simple thing. And then I started to dive even deeper into the rabbit hole when I started to look in Instagram, if you follow the hashtags. And I started to see what other people were doing. And I was like, oh my God, this is insane. I was already, what was weird is that I was already doing it.
Yeah, I think I'm already doing this on some level.
Yeah, and so when I was already doing it, I was like, oh, well, then you just kind of wrap a framework around that. And part of the framework is that you keep all the lists sort of like inside of one journal rather than little pieces of paper and like lots of little journals. And then you have an index at the beginning of like your journal, whatever, where you basically write down, like if you start a page and that page is a list, like I have one that I just started, what?
I have to stop you for a second.
Okay, what?
A couple weeks ago, I decided I really needed like a little notebook to carry around with me. And this type of notebook is the exact kind I bought. The bullet kind. Can you believe that? Because this is kind of what I already do. Like, I just need a running to-do list like this. Oh my God, I'm bullet journaling. I didn't even know.
Keep going. I know. And so what's really cool is because then it just clarifies, kind of like brings order to all of those to-do lists. And every time that you have an idea or any time that you have like, oh my God, like I have like a spread for all of the ladies that are attending the She Podcast branch. Like that's
It's in the same notebook as my bullet journal.
And so it's in there. And then I also have something that I just created that is like the preparation for us to the brunch and to podcast movement. And I have it all spread out so that I have it written, like spread out by weeks and how many weeks are left. So there's basically 9 weeks until we get there. And I started to write tasks that need to be done on those weeks.
Jesus,
and it's visually.
Why did you say that? I just had a panic attack.
No, it's so. Well, I don't want to have panic attacks, which is why I put that in there, because I don't want that to happen. So I'm like, okay, these are things that are definitely need to be done by this time. And I just started to sort of brainstorm through it. But you can also write like a weekly spread for the weekly stuff that you do, a monthly spread. And what else do I have? I have the daily spreads, which is where I really write the majority of my stuff. And you kind of transfer tasks. If you're not done with one, you migrate them like to the next day or to the next week. And I know like the biggest resistance that I feel, like at first I was like, you mean you have to rewrite everything down? And that's part of the magic of it, because if you don't write it down, then it's not doesn't matter to you that much. Mm-hmm. And so there's something about that's really helped me writing everything down and over again, or moving it over and realizing, holy cats, I have not done this for the past like week. Is this something I need to shelf? Yeah. Is this something that I need to, or, and then it's really clear, like whenever every morning when I wake up, I see these are the three big tasks that I need to get done. And it's, and they're in my face, because mm-hmm. the other thing is I love it. So one of the reasons that this is helping me so much is because I really like the journal. So I open it a lot and mm-hmm. I look through it a lot, which is something that I don't do with all the digital solutions that we had before mm-hmm. or that I've had before, because all of a sudden it was like when I opened up like Omni Outliner or Omni, what's the other one? The one that I was like, I don't know, whichever one is the Omni Group. I forgot what it's called. Not Omni. It's not Omni Outliner and it's not Omni Graffle. It's the other one, for God's
sake. I was going to say Graffle, yeah.
But it's the one that is basically to gather all your tasks and all your to-dos. And I've done all those online. But there's something about the digital space where I'm looking at the to-do list in front of me on the computer. And then all of a sudden, something appears, a notification, somebody texts me, somebody, all, and then I'm lost. Like, it's all the same. So there is no importance to it. Whereas now I can have a separate time of planning that is away from my computer. And then I feel like, okay, this can be done. Because usually what I would do is I would open the computer and I was immediately reactive to everything that was happening to me. Mm-hmm. An email that was coming in, a notification from Facebook, somebody like texted me something, and everything else that goes on with being in front of the computer. And so I would lose track of what I was supposed to be doing from the get-go. Whereas now I can sit down and look at my notebook and be like, oh, okay, that's where I'm coming back from.
Yeah.
And it's also helped me from the interruptions of my girls and anything else. Before, again, I was trying to do something and then somebody will interrupt me and then I will come back and go,
but you can come right back to where you were.
Yeah. So now with the bullet journal in front of me, I can look at the list and go, oh yeah, I was doing that. That's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. So it's been helping me like crazy. I can't even tell you. And it's making me be all creative, because then I doodle and I make letters and I fill them in and I color code. And even though that is time consuming, it's also giving me a break from the digital. So
That makes sense. And that's good. That's a good thing.
So, and it's not rigid. So this is something that Ryder Carroll is the guy who invented. He actually invented this system. He just got the website up in 2013. Mm-hmm. So it's a fairly new system. But what's really great is that it's not rigid. So, you know, whenever you take on another task management system or a productivity system that is online and it's via software, there's a very rigid workflow and framework that you have to follow. You have to learn how to use that. Whereas mm-hmm. with the bullet journal, it's fairly simple and it's kind of, it moves. So you can design it to work with the way your brain already works. And the reason Ryder created this is because he had a lot of learning disabilities and he needed to find a way to, I don't know exactly what those are, but he never like got clear about that. But he said he had a really hard time. So he created a system that could help him be productive. And I've been in love with the whole thing. You know, it gets rid of the noise and it's really fast. So you distill it. It's something that he calls in there that it's what do you call it? It's functional planning, and it's really about capturing things fast. Rapid journaling is what he calls it. That's why it's all in bullet points. And you can migrate each one of those bullet points. So anyway, I just think if any of you guys are doing it, you guys let me know because I'm obsessed like crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of am already doing it. So I would love to see yours and how you actually use it.
Yeah, I'll show you. And like and the other thing, too, that he was talking about is that, you know, it becomes what you need it at the time that you need it. And this is something that really resonated with me, that there's going to be times that you're going to need to be planning like your week. There's going to be times when you're going to be needing to plan for a trip that's coming up. There's going to be times where you really just want to sit down and like journal and really just journal, like get your feelings out or whatever. There's going to be a time when you just want to doodle and you just want to make a picture, a pretty picture on a page. It doesn't matter when you do it or how you do it or whether you do it before or after your daily planners or after the big, you know, thing. It can be what you want it to be when you want it to be. And you can change your mind. Whereas in other frameworks, they don't grow with you. You still have to kind of abide by those constraints. Whereas this can just... And then if you want to drop it, you can drop it. And you don't have empty pages of months that you didn't fill in because it's just a notebook. So the pressure of that also helps you keep going. I mean, not the pressure of it, the lack of pressure.
Makes sense to me. I mean, I bought this notebook, I don't even know how long ago. I've yet to open it and put anything in it because I've been trying to find the perfect system for myself, which I'm always in search for, and I never seem to find the right one. So
you should look at his video. It's a 4-minute video right at the top of the page. It's super simple. And then... And his is incredibly simple, and I kind of want to move towards that. Right now, mine is a little bit more. I have a lot of doodles and colors.
I'm a doodler, too.
So
like a curse.
I have
curse of the doodles.
All kinds of doodles and stuff. So
doodles
and doodles. But I will share. I'll share more about my planning process like that, and it's been great to have the bird's eye view of what we're doing and to really keep on task in a way that makes me feel happy. So, yay!
Yay. Well, that was super helpful. I mean, even more so that I'm already doing it.
I know. And you have a notebook. So if any of you guys are doing bullet journaling,
I already have the notebook.
Like that,
I know. It's crazy.
You're so excited.
Where did I get it? I want to say Barnes and Noble.
Probably.
I'm pretty sure I got it at Barnes and Noble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is the end of our episode today. So any of you guys who have bullet journaling or have any kind of desire to know a little bit more, I'm happy to share because I'm kind of totally obsessed with what I've been doing. But I'd love to see your stuff, too. I haven't gotten to the point where I'm putting my pictures up on Instagram. But, dude, if you just read the hashtags for bullet journaling or bullet journal, and you're going to be like, what the? I mean, it's a huge community, and it's I mean, I'm just floored by what people can do. It's very inspirational, and I feel that it's also completely mine. So
I can't even imagine that there was a community to go even with it.
There's a huge, massive community around bullet journaling. It's like out of control.
Crazy pants.
So it's crazy pants. So do you have some sponsor shout outs today? Some shout outs for some peeps or some people that have been helping us?
Yes. Shout out to Audio Editing Solutions, John, who's also my co-host at offintheweeds.com. But thank you so much for editing our show. He is such a perfectionist. My God.
My God.
I know you guys spend hours talking about my shitty audio and how I don't stop fidgeting and everything else. And I'm very sorry. But yeah, he's a fussy dude when it comes to audio. And that means that your audio will be amazing as well.
Totally.
And then Rebecca at CLR Virtual Connections is amazing. She's been helping us with she's going to start in now on our affiliate program, which needs to get up. But she's been helping us with putting the final touches on Podcasting School for Women. And now we can start getting affiliates. So actually, if you want to be an affiliate and help us and be our sales, a little bit of our sales team, send us an email. Let us know. And we'll put you up on we're just getting the program together now. So I'm excited about that. And then Darlene Victoria, who has been helping us just go over our website and make sure everything's copacetic and stuff. So thank you to all three of you. And I think that's pretty much it. You can find us on shepodcast.com, everything.com/shepodcast, like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And you can join our group. And don't forget to text new podcast to 44222 just to get on our email list and also to get our little planning kit. Even if you already have a podcast, you might find some suggestions in there useful.
Yeah, even just the process. And also, please buy your ticket. ShePodcast.com/
I'd really like to be able to let them know earlier when how many people we know are coming. Even if you guys are like hemming and hawing, just make a later flight. It's not going to hurt anybody. You're not going to, you know, most likely Expedia will allow you to change the flight without giving you a penalty. And then, or however you sent your, however you set your stuff up, just go home a little later, a little later. It's Chicago. It's Chicago.
And you just yeah, and then you need to hang out with us, period. So to have fun with us and bed all of the She Podcasters energy and
Did you say bed us?
In bed. Not bed. Plus the boys, where are you guys? I want to see guys. Y'all need to come, guys.
You guys are all hemming and hawing about how you can never like come to stuff. We're not inviting you. Well, where are you?
Yeah.
What's happening? I don't see you guys signing up for our event that's open to all. Let's do this. We want to hang out.
Yep, let's do it.
All right. Love you.
Mean it.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.